Right. We have returned from closed session. Reconvene the regular meeting of the Board of Education West Covina Unified School District, June 24th, 2014, reconvene at 7:40. Start this evening with an invocation by Mr. Flowers and flag salute by Mrs. Miranda Jimenez.
Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together on this evening, Lord God. Father God, we just pray that your goodness and mercy continue to follow us, Lord God. Lord God, we just pray for our board, Lord God. Continue to give us wisdom, guidance, and direction in which to lead, Lord God. Bless our superintendent, administration, Lord, and complete staff. And we continue to pray for our teachers also, Lord God. Continue to guide them. And Lord God, we pray for our students, Lord God. Have your way in their lives, Lord God. We ask you, your will be done in all of our lives. Not our will, but Lord, let thy will be done in our lives. In Christ's name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mrs. Polis?
Here.
Mrs. Minetta Hills?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Mrs. Kaplan?
In closed session this evening, the board took action on item number C, public employee performance evaluation, superintendent. By a vote of 5-0, the board took action to issue a 2013-14 performance evaluation for the superintendent that was rated at a level of satisfactory or better. I have nothing else to report out of closed session. I have no further report. Any other board reports, updates? Items to the floor. Does anybody wish to make a comment to the Board of Education at this time? Seeing none, we'll go to the business session on the approval of the agenda and consent items. Does anybody wish to add or delete items from consent?
But yes, 3, I was wondering. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have a revision on 3.
How about 4?
Can we do 4? Is that okay?
No.
How about 21?
No, I have something. Nothing, sorry. Everything should be quick.
I'll move as presented.
I'll second it.
And it's a first reading
with the amendments.
Yeah, we do have some corrections, so I'll do that. All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting, with exception to item 12. And what was the other one?
Correction on item number
3.
Correction on item number 2.
What's that?
The correction on item number 3.
Yeah, okay, that's one. So item 3 and item 12, we have corrections and are presented to us at the table here. Any objections? Motion is so ordered. That then takes us to item number 3, revision of board policies, first reading.
Anybody else has any other?
Well, why don't you get your year one, and I'll ask if anybody else has their concerns.
Just one. Okay. On page 3X, there were 2 things I wanted to add. When I looked up Title 20, which is the Title 20 USC 1681, it talks about sex and no discrimination based on sex, but it's actually Title 34, where this language that's here, these two sentences, comes directly out of Title 34. So my suggestion was to add, the district shall not discriminate against any student on the basis of the student's sex, comma, so it takes care of Title 20, keep the rest of it the same, and then at the end, eliminate that end of parentheses, put a colon, semicolon, and then add 34 CFR 106.40. Because, again, this sentence is directly out of Title 34. So that was my suggestion.
Which paragraph?
Yes.
Second paragraph? Oh, so I don't have this in front of me. Second paragraph. The district shall not discriminate against any student on the basis of the student's sex, comma, marital status, pregnancy, childbirth, false pregnancy, termination of pregnancy, or related recovery, Education Code 230, 20 U.S.C. 1681-1688, semicolon, 34 CFR 106.40. That was my suggestion. And I know this is came from CSBA, so I know that CSBA, their lawyers must have missed that. Because, again, like I said, Title 20 specifically deals on no discrimination based on sex, but that's not even included in this language, so that's why I'm suggesting we add sex. But Title 34 is, this is a direct quote off of Title 34, and they didn't even list it. They list it, obviously, at the end, but not here. So I just wanted to...
No objection. We looked it up.
I would recommend not putting sex in because this is married, pregnant, parenting students because we already have policies that specifically relate to that, and take out the code that shouldn't be here and add the code that should be.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just didn't know how comfortable everybody would feel to take out that 20 because it came from CSBA. So I...
Do you want to respond, Mr. Seaman?
What's the question?
Are you comfortable with taking out the code 230, the 20 USC, and putting in 34C?
We're just adding the 34 and the 82, and the other one needs to stay there.
I'm fine with it because when you look at 34 CFR 106.40, that is straight from there. Sex is not mentioned there. And the next paragraph is important, and it's already referenced there. And when you look at Ed Code 230 and the Title 20 for the United States Code, it does only talk about discrimination on the basis of sex.
Right.
So the way CSBA wrote their sample, they don't mention sex,
right. But
they do make the reference to there in a general discrimination policy. So we can leave the reference off and leave the word sex off and put the right reference there.
Yeah, the only, and I'm fine, take out, we could just take out the two codes and only add 34. The only reason I put sex in there is just in case, because we do offer to fathers, right, that if they've got a child, we're also providing them parenting and the ability to be at school next to their child. So that's why I thought if we did sex in there, we're not discriminating against fathers or mothers.
Well, I think it says against any student. Any student includes male or female students.
Okay. I'm not married to it. I'm just more concerned about Title 34. Okay. All right.
So you'll make that change and then get back to us?
We'll be in the second reading.
Okay. All right.
Anything
that was
else?
It?
Any other board policy changes, questions, comments on any of the other board policies or administrative regulations?
On 3D, drug and alcohol testing for bus drivers. And I asked this question, so you sent the response to everybody. And they do they test everybody anyway. So I would like the second paragraph, last line, that the requirements may be waived. I want, that whole sentence could come off. This testing requirement may be waived if the following conditions exist. Because you said we never waive them anyway. So I guess we have to take all the following conditions out, too, because we're not going to waive them for anything.
Yeah.
Would be my suggestion, because I think that it's important.
Seaman.
Is the question, can we take them out?
Well, we already got the answer.
Okay.
I mean, I was asking, the answer was forwarded.
It's a permissive part of the code, and we do not hire any employees without drug testing them. So this would not apply.
So why don't we just take it out if it never applies?
So that's what I told the superintendent. We don't hire anybody without going through drug testing. That's part of your policy.
Right. So if it's never going to happen, let's take it out. That was the only thing I had on the policies.
Is there a motion with respect?
I will move as amended.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the following board policies and administrative regulations as presented and with the recommendation of suggested changes. Is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Item number four, restructuring assistant superintendent business services base salary under the employment agreement.
I'll second it.
It's been moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Kami Polis to approve the amendment to the Assistant Superintendent Business Services Employment Agreement as presented. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Item number seven, the adoption of the local control accountability plan. Comments?
I have a question. On the changes that were made, I appreciate all the feedback on everything that was enlightening. And then the still on the APIB exams, I'm still concerned if we have, and I understand why it's in here, and we can't say we're going to increase the numbers of people taking the classes. They're actually looking at what we, the percent they pass. I mean, we want to increase our pass rate. Can we, I don't want to discourage people from signing up or taking the test. What if we made it a lower percent rate? Would that be okay, pass rate? Because I want everybody, I really want the teachers to encourage people to take the IB classes and the AP classes and to take the test. And hopefully, even our at-risk students may be able to pass with grade 5. But 3 or above, that would be wonderful. But I don't want to discourage anybody from doing that because we're afraid we won't be able to meet our restricted, I don't want to say, yeah, pass rate, because that's 5. I'm sure everybody right now is working at, everybody wants a 3 or above. And 5%, and then 5% on top of that the following year, and then an additional 5% we may have difficulty meeting those goals.
First of all, I just want to clarify so everybody understands that this was not something that came out of our LCAP advisory, and it did not come out of our public forum. It came from the county with a checklist of things that they strongly suggested that we put in our LCAP plan. Our concern is if we don't put it in, they'll send it back, and we'd have to put it in as well. So I'm very comfortable. I mean, this is almost like a mandate. It's not something that
right.
we had agreed to. So if you wanted to put 1% for 3 years, I'd be comfortable with that.
And with the understanding that what we really want is more people taking those classes and taking the tests, And it would be great if we had, and but with a larger group taking it, it's harder to meet those percentages. And so not that we don't want people to pass and not that we don't want it to be rigorous, but we want to make sure as many people actually have opportunity to take those their rigor in those classes and hopefully pass. But for a wider population, it's always been our goal.
So it's 1%.
Yes, that's fine.
Well, hold on. I was going to say, I have a in the margin, I said excellent. I was thrilled to see that 5%. If I'm not mistaken, we had, what, 20 students take the IB test this year? So 5% of that doesn't even come out to a whole student yet.
I think it's the philosophy that we're talking about is that one of the things that you try to encourage that all kids take higher level tests, mm-hmm. higher level classes, and that has been our philosophy to get more kids in these classes, and that's kind of what we've been moving for. If we continue to have it grow, and I'm thinking of AP probably more than IB right now because mm-hmm. IB is a small population, we might not be able to meet this. We may be meeting the goal of getting more kids to take the class, but we may not be meeting the goal of getting more kids passing because we want to encourage them to take higher level thinking. We don't want to say take it and don't take the test. So it's kind of where there are two separate goals that almost are opposite in terms of what we're trying to do. So
what's our current pass rate? Is it 40 still? 42? 40? Okay.
Could we leave it at 3% instead of 1%?
Yeah, and again, let me also explain. This is our metrics. There's mm-hmm. no outside people that are going to come in and say, you didn't meet it. It's more for us to look at and revise. Ideally, with the entire plan, is after the first year, you have your baseline data, and you look at it, and you may revise your plan. You may go higher going forward. You may go lower, but that's part of the conversation you have the next year. But I understand what you're trying to say, and I'm comfortable changing it to a lower pass rate. I don't think it matters if we say 1, 3, or 5 because ideally we're trying to do a baseline that we will evaluate at the end of next year.
It will, and the philosophy for a long time in our district was people that were in GATE classes got to take honors and they got to take AP. And they discouraged any other student from taking those classes. And we've been slowly moving away from that. I don't want to move back that way because someone's looking at this and saying, there's no way I'm going to be able to have that many people pass.
You don't want the schools to get worried and say, oh, my God, if we don't do this, we're not going to be accountable, so let's make sure we only put kids in that we
can. I don't want
that to be happening at the school side.
I don't want to move backwards.
And I also want to add the reason that we've been recognized for closing the achievement gap is based on the number of increase that we've had of kids that take these classes.
I like the 1, 3, 5. I think that's good. It'll take us a good 2 years to even get to a 5% increase. So I like that.
Well, that would be cumulative then. Because right now it would be 15%
by
the end of 3 years. So are you saying by the end of 3 years making it 5%?
That last one being 5 there, the first one being 3, the next one in 2015-16 saying, the first one saying 1%, the next one saying 3, and then the last one saying 5. I think that's good targets because even, again, still with the IB program, those are little numbers. The other thing I was going to ask, since we're on that one, is identified metric. You don't have it in here, and I was just curious why we didn't add in there the AP pass rate and the IB pass rate if we're saying below that we're going to look at increases. So would we add that to the identified metric? Because we've got the, obviously, district A through G completion rate, the EA pass rate. Are we also going to look at the AP pass rate and the IB pass rate?
My understanding of the identified metric is there in the goal. These were the metrics that we used to identify the need.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
So am I hearing agreement on 1, 3, and 5?
I'm fine with that.
Tammy?
I'm just trying to make sure it's not cumulative. I'm
Well, and it's worth noting that West Covina High got dinged in their WASC accreditation when I was in high school because they were doing exactly that. They would only let certain students in, and the WASC committee very clearly said it's students who determine the schedule, not the teachers, based on pass rates.
I think the important part about this goal is the increase in the students becoming A through G eligible. And I think if we're doing that, the opportunities that they're going to have to participate in those AP classes and do those things is going to be a natural outgrowth of it. So hopefully we won't be getting dinged for that, and we can move the teachers forward with feeling comfortable with kids taking the test and working towards that pass rate.
That's definitely a direction we want to move into. I'll move this item.
Another one. I'm sorry.
I have other questions.
What was the final direction?
Not, what is
that?
Oh, I thought it was 1, 3, and 5.
Okay.
And do you, Carmen, you think that's doable? Okay. I want it to be something that is actually achievable also.
The first year, I think we're being ambitious with our goals and we're being realistic. I think one of the benefits of this is it really reflects the input of the community and the board and all of the stakeholders involved, and so it'll be really exciting to see where we are next year and have some more information and really revise those goals to be continuing to be realistic with them for us to make them.
Thank you. Oh, you want to have something else?
You do? Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Thank you. On the first identified goal, and thank you for highlighting it so that it was very easy to identify where the changes were. It was easy to go straight to them. Thank you so much, Ms. Hawkins. And I know that was not fun, being that it got added in. I read the memo that said that I saw that laundry list there. So for the attendance, where you bulleted on the first item and then on the second, and I know that right now we have over a 97% attendance rate. So I was simply thinking, to show that we are progressing, leaving that first bullet, maintain an attendance average of at least 96%. We already know we're doing that. But then increasing the following year to, say, 97%, so that it looks like we are trying to move in a forward direction. And then I'm fine with leaving the following year at 97 since we're already achieving that. But I was looking at it saying I would like to show that we're having forward growth, but maybe there was some other thinking there. So that's what I wanted to ask.
In making that correction, with the district average already being at 97% and most of our schools being so close to that level, the 96 or higher was the attempt at showing that we were trying to achieve a goal that was required for the LCAP checklist, but not one of our biggest areas of concern and need to write a lot of goals for. So, I mean, we can change it to be 97 if the board directs us to.
I just wanted to show a forward progression in that, not that we're trying to step back on the goal at 96, because we're already meeting the 97. So that was going to be my suggestion.
Did you say we would have to write a goal on how we were going to make that happen?
We don't have to write a goal on how we were going to make that happen. We just, it's a choice as to, very similar to with the pass rate, it's a choice we make right now as to what we have that at. If in the future the state or the county decides what they want us to have these things at and they change it, then we'll have to go with that. So right now it was a compliance piece that I included.
So Eileen, you want to, we're at 97 now, you want to go back to 96?
No. I wanted to move it. I wanted to change it to say 97.
Okay.
So the first, right, the first year 96, the second year 97. We're already achieving it, but it looks like we're saying we're moving forward versus stepping back. That was just my suggestion.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yes, that's a good suggestion.
Okay, and then on the third, same idea. Third page and fourth page, excuse me, fourth and fifth page, when it came to the expulsions, again, we said that it's not a problem for our district. We have a 3% expulsion rate, so that's really good. But again, keeping that same idea of we're trying to improve, keeping that first year at 3%, keeping that second year at 3%, but then on that third year, dropping it to 2%, because if we are getting everybody A through G ready, if we're putting in our Common Core, then our expulsion rate might drop. So just by one percentage to 2%, that was what my suggestion was for that. But again, is that?
I mean, we can change it.
So my suggestion was keep the 3% the first year, keep the 3% the second year, but then the third year drop it to 2%, so that we're lessening our expulsions, because we are, in fact, we have great intervention where everyone's on the track to either college or career. So
no objection.
Okay. And that was it. Other than that, thank you so much. And I thank you. And like I said, thank you for highlighting it. That made it easy. Okay, I'm excited to see what the county says and the state.
Nothing on that. I'll move as amended.
I'll second. Oh.
Been moved by Cammie Polis and seconded by Mike Flowers to approve the West Covina Unified School District Local Control Accountability Plan beginning July of 2014 as amended. Any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Item number 12, the amendment to the superintendent's employment agreement. The application of 3% retroactive pay increase, extension of 1 year to the term, and a fuel supply allowance. We do have a change on this one, or 13? Yeah, we do have
13.
We have a change to reflect the fact that, as I report, I'm sorry, 12 we are 12.
Is the change.
Huh? 12 is revised.
12 is the revision.
12 is the revision.
You're talking about changing.
So with 12 as a revision, just for general knowledge, that as I reported earlier, we performed our evaluation of the superintendent and we agreed to provide that evaluation, discuss it with the superintendent this evening.
Okay, I'll go ahead and move this with the changes.
I'll second it.
It's moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Cammie Polis to approve the amendment to the superintendent's employment agreement as presented. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No.
Okay.
Motion passes 5-0. Item number 13, and this was not changed, so that what was in the board packet stands. The amendment to the superintendent's employment agreement, restructuring of the superintendent's base salary. Questions or comments?
Okay. There's just one minor change that we discussed when we originally approved offering this amendment to the superintendent in exchange for basically some law changes that happened. We had agreed to do $16,000 into the TSA plan, and the amendment that was presented to the public and presented to the board says $17,000. And so I am proposing to change it to the 16 as was agreed upon.
I will go ahead and second that.
Just for reference, so that people do understand that even though the examples presented to the board in closed session did make reference and used the number as 16,000, which is at the time the amount which was represented by the original contract that the superintendent, the first amendment to the superintendent's contract. I can find it here, which was dated September 11th of 2012. Item 6 of that amendment stated that to the extent allowable by law, the district shall consistent with Education Code 22903 and 22909 pay the superintendent's 8% employee contribution to the STRS defined benefit program. That would be 8% of compensation. This year, with the increase to base salary, that contribution to the STRS agreement would have amounted to $17,280.
Excuse me, it would actually be more because this year the contribution is going up by 8.15. Last year it was 8%.
So it would be something greater than the $16,000 that we had discussed at that point in time. And so that's why this contract, my understanding, that's why this contract was changed to agree to $17,000. So I just wanted to let that be known. Any other comments?
Yes, my only note on that is the reason we are not making the STRS contribution and we are going into a TSA is because the law changed and the law says we are not allowed to make that contribution any longer. When the law changed, the contribution rate is 8%, as our contract says, which is the amount that we proposed and agreed to, which is why the contract is being amended to reflect what we had originally agreed to based on the law at the time. You know, it would be wonderful to be able to continue to contribute the STRS, but the law has changed and we're not allowed to. And the law is changing so that the contribution rates are going up extremely high. And we need to be realistic about that because, you know, assuming the superintendent is here for another 6 or 7 years, we're looking at a 19% STRS contribution. And so that's real dollars. And the agreement was the agreement. This isn't a reflection of the superintendent or any comment from the board on her value. It's just based on the strict contract and when the law changed that and what we agreed to when we proposed this amendment.
Any other comment?
I will just add that when we looked at it as a total package, and I know we've already approved the fuel supply, but when we were looking at that, we actually gave more than was requested on fuel supply. So it was actually ended up being more. If we keep this at 16, it was more than originally requested.
I'm sorry, who moved this?
Justin moved to remove the change and then seconded it.
It's been moved by Jessica Shoemaker, seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez to approve the amendment to the superintendent's employment agreement as presented, with the exception of changing item 2B on page 2 from $17,000 to $16,000. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. This motion passes 4-1 with Steve Cox voting no. Item number 21 is the adoption of the 2014-15 budget and criteria and standards.
Dr. Colcomb?
I just want to give a brief, there's no presentation, just a brief update of what's happened since our last board meeting when we presented the proposed budget. At that last board meeting, we talked about the ending fund balance and how funds were assigned. So this budget that you are being asked to approve tonight indicates portions of that assigned ending balance to go towards current and prior year lotteries, as we discussed, as was presented by the board. Since the presentation, it should be noted that the governor signed the budget on June 20th, and the what was finally signed will have a positive impact on the budget. The funding gap has increased from 28.06% to 29.56%, and in a sense, just accelerating, getting us to our target sooner, which will increase revenue. And the increase in the employer portion of STIRS, we use the assumption of going to 9.5%, 8.25 to 9.5, it's going to go to 8.88%. So that'll be a little bit of a savings. Eventually, the target is still out there. The employer portion is the 19%. The employee portion is still goes up to 8.15, and I believe it caps out at 10.25%. Those are the changes. And there's, as I said, there's no presentation unless you want me to go through it again. But we will be coming back after there's trailer bills that have to be signed. And we will come back and do budget revisions throughout the year as needed as things change. With that, are there any questions?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you very much for changing everything. I wanted to suggest to my colleagues before we finalize the budget and vote on it, our professional development allocation, I'd like to see it return to the 2009 level. When I started as a board member, it was 25,000, and it's dropped down to 17,500. And I know there's a few of us that go to two conferences a year. We also have two delegates on our board, and there are increased costs to registration and hotels and things of that. So I'd like to see us restored back to the, I'd like to suggest to my colleagues that we be restored to the 25,000.
Do you mind if we just address the issue before us on this budget? And criteria and standards, approve this as presented, and then take into consideration in another board meeting and
sure.
address that with the budget revision at that time?
Absolutely. Okay.
Any other questions or comments on this?
No.
Adopt the budget.
All right.
I'll second it.
It's been moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Lynn Moran to adopt the 2014-15 budget as presented. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Any other items for board discussion? Dates to remember, 4th of July, the district office will be closed, and our next meeting will skip the second week of July, and we'll meet on July 22nd. There being no further business to come, we will adjourn back to closed session. There are some issues that we need to resolve. And if I have something more to read out, we will do so at that time and then adjourn the meeting at the end of closed session.
Yes.
Oh.